Scriptures this morning are replete with wonderful ideas, themes, thoughts. Our minds just kind of go on an overload of different kinds of things to speak about, think about, reflect about. But really, we can redact to one particular thing, and that is faith. These scriptures for us today are compelling in their approach to us, calling us to faith. And our two great characters rise in that sense of understanding faith. Two great characters that are portrayed in these readings today. One, of course, is our father in faith, Abraham, who is still being called Abram in the Genesis reading we heard this morning. Now, you have to remember that Abraham was about 75 years old when he was called from Ur in the Chaldeans to travel into the Holy Land, the new place that God established for him. 75 years old. That's older than most of us here. I mean, you know, I don't think anybody here is 75 years old. You know, so we look and we think, 75 years old. And he's getting this call from God to take everything and move. Everything. Your wife, your family, your farm, your animals, crops, things, everything. And he goes. Incredible. And in that, of course, there is the model for us. And old people in the scriptures continually confound us with the beauty and the wonder of God's freshness of life. They take away a lot of our excuses about, oh, you know, I can't do this, you know, I've got this ache, I got this pain, I got this, I got this, that. Faith always kind of stirs within us and calls us beyond ourselves. It's always challenging. Faith is always challenging. If you're not being challenged by your faith, you've given up. Faith is always challenging. Always challenging. Must always be in front of you. It almost be kind of drawing you on beyond. And the other one in today's scriptures is my friend St. Peter. I just find Peter in the scriptures just an amazing character. He is us. He really is us in so many ways. Peter goes in so many kinds of directions that we find ourselves going in. And, you know, it's kind of the open mouth, insert foot mentality. And it's also the incredible, amazing way in which he can sum up the beauty and the wonder of the presence of the living God in front of him. Inspired by the Father himself, he recognizes the person of the Son of God in Jesus Christ. And in that moment, he is raised to be the one upon which Jesus is going to build his church. And no sooner does he say it than Jesus is telling him, "Get behind me, Satan." The human emotions, the human side of Scripture, the human feelings that are involved from Abraham to Peter, all these things summed up so much when Peter says, as he's at the Transfiguration. And Jesus, of course, shows the Transfiguration and gives that gift to Peter, James, and John because they need to be aware of what's going to happen. They are going to see the most incredibly awful, horrible kind of thing that they've ever dreamed of. This Jesus with whom they're hanging around is going to be beaten nearly to death And then, you know, on some trumped up charges and all kinds of things. And the very people that are loving him and saying all kinds of good things about him are going to be there saying bad things about him and going to just watch him suffer and die a criminal death, a horrible death. And Jesus himself says in the Gospel of St. Luke, he talks to Peter at the Last Supper, and he says, "Peter, I have prayed for you." I think that's a wonderful thing, you know, to know that the Lord prays for you, because I'm sure he does for each and every one of us. Jesus intercedes for each and every one of us. He knows each and every one of us by name and intercedes for us individually, knows us, knows exactly what we need, knows our shortcomings, knows our weaknesses. But he knew what he was doing with Peter because he talked to Peter and he said, "Peter, I have prayed for you because the devil intends to get you. He is going to sift all of you," meaning the apostles. "But I have prayed for you so that you are going to be strong and that you are going to rise up and you are going to be the one who's going to lead your brothers." But Peter, James, and John are up on Mount Tabor and they're seeing this transfiguration. And just as they do in the Garden of Gethsemane, they fall asleep. And so Peter's kind of groggy when he sees this vision and wakes up and he says, "I got to say something. Lord, it is good for us to be here." And of course, he says something that is appropriate, but he also says something that is very, very important for us. "Let's stay here. Let's stay here. Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let's build three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Let's stay here. Let's not go anywhere else. Let's not go on with the rest of this journey. Let's not go wherever this journey looks like it's taking us. Let's try and avoid whatever kinds of sadness and all the other circumstances that are going to lead us to horrible things. Let's stay here. It's safe here." Well, that's not faith. That's not faith. Faith takes us deeper, 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 and brings us right to the very source of what we believe, and that is the fact that we die and we rise. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. His love for his Father compels us to believe. Beyond all the things that seem to make us safe and comfortable and warm and fuzzy and whatever it may be, we are always compelled to move deeper into our relationship with Jesus. And as we come together, day in and day out, we celebrate the presence of Jesus in a miracle that is ours in faith. Jesus transforms bread and wine into his own body and blood, soul and divinity. We are confronted with the Son of God. We receive him into our hearts and into our souls. And it's very, very easy for us to form our prayerful reflection after Holy Communion and say, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. This I can handle this in the midst of all the stuff that I got to deal with in my life. Gosh, this is one moment of peace." You don't get one moment of peace. You get a life of grace so that we can go out and live. Jesus Christ is with us in this veil of tears. And it is important for us to remember that the cross is the means of our salvation. In suffering, we do amount to something. We are transformed. It's almost just the exact opposite of what Jesus did. Jesus did the transfiguration to prepare the apostles for the horror of the cross. And we kind of go through the cross and come to the glory of the resurrection, the beauty and the wonder of what is to come. The risen Christ, the risen Savior, that's our hope. So our faith, while it's constantly being tried and constantly being moved around and jostled and everything else, our hope is firmly grounded in the Paschal mystery, which we celebrate in the Eucharist. The passion, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ, that continually urges us on and causes us to have great hope, and then calls us to be men and women who share the mission of Jesus Christ. And that is love. To go out into the world, challenged by faith, comforted by hope, and alive to share the mission of Jesus Christ in love. To be men and women who are fully imbued with the great gift of the risen Christ. And my brothers and sisters, it is in that way that we are called to live the life of grace, so that we may go forth as those who have met Jesus Christ, have communed with Him, know Him in our hearts, and serve Him in our lives, so that we may one day reach the fullness of the kingdom, to which may God lead us all.